May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. They found him, so the story goes, by looking up, by consulting charts of stars and following a single bright star all the way from Bethlehem, all the way from Persia to Bethlehem. Traversing as they progressed not merely mountains and plains, but also cultures and countries, religions and races, customs and tongues. And having found the child, the strangers bent their bodies to fit the cramped space until they were kneeling. Mary and Joseph, with heads tilted and ears cocked, listened as the stranger's clothing, so thick and crisp and rich, rustled against the dirt floor. Then, opening a chest, the strangers presented the infant with gold that glittered by the oil lamp. They presented frankincense, and its aroma rushed into that space, overwhelming the smell of the animals. And they presented a reddish, brown, sticky substance, a resin, and instantly the scent of raw myrrh, sharp and pleasant and somewhat bitter, mingled with the other smells. And to this day, the visit of the Magi to the infant Jesus, their presence, their journey, their gifts, the surprise and incongruity of their appearance, today it is marked and remembered by the Church of the Nativity. Situated on Bethlehem's manger square, the church is built over a grotto where, it is said, Mary gave birth to Jesus. Now, if the visit of the Magi evokes paradox, freedom, compassion, contemplation, tolerance, mysticism, pilgrimage, the church that honors their visit is, by contrast, inelegant and fortress-like, and it is presided over by armed forces representing the Palestinian Authority. The church itself is controlled jointly by an uneasy agreement among three Christian traditions, each of whom claims to be the true church: the Armenians, the Roman Catholics, and the Greek Orthodox. And for centuries, the area has been one of the most contested holy places in a most contested holy land. It has been seized and defended by a succession of armies, including Persians, Muslims, and Crusader forces. And the church's large, fortress-like exterior stands as a testament to its turbulent history. The main access to the Church of the Nativity, by a very small space called the Door of Humility, which visitors must enter by bending over awkwardly. The door is said to have been made during the Ottoman era to prevent warriors entering on horseback. In 1847, inside the Church of the Nativity, Greek monks beat Latin monks with staves in an attempt to drive them from the holy sites in Bethlehem. It was in that same year that Latins took possession of a tapestry which they deemed marked a portion of the church that was their portion of the church. Later, a Greek bishop was wounded in a clash with members of the Roman Catholic clergy. And this was followed by the mysterious disappearance of the silver star in the grotto of the Nativity, which was to mark the site of Jesus' birth. The Latins accused the Greeks of stealing the star. But perhaps best of all, during the annual 1983 and 1984 Christmas cleanings of the Church of the Nativity, 50 Armenian and Greek priests came to blows using for their weapons brooms, chairs, and ladders. Over what were they fighting? Over the right to clean a disputed section of the church, 6 meters by 15 centimeters. In 1985, in an attempt to prevent a similar brawl, the two sects agreed together to leave that disputed area uncleaned. In 1989, Latins and Armenians protested Greek attempts to repair the leaky roof of the church. They both felt that the act of repairing the roof was an attempt by the Greeks to assert control over that section of the church. So eventually in 1990, this is before the Palestinian Authority had taken control, in 1990, the Israeli government came in as a neutral third party and fixed the leaks. The Church of the Nativity, like so much in the Holy Land, has had a strange, fraught, often violent past, so incongruous with the gentle Christmas story we are so want to tell this time of year. But here's the thing. Here's what I want you to know. The Church of the Nativity is the oldest standing church in the Holy Land. The oldest standing church in the Holy Land. Despite all that has happened around it and in it, the church was spared destruction at least twice. Why? The Magi. The story goes that this Christian shrine was spared destruction from the invading Persians in 614 and spared again from the invading Muslims in 1009. For one reason, depictions of the Magi on the walls of the church. You see, it is said that the invaders entered this Christian church in full battle mode, armored, helmeted, swords raised, ready to kill, to desecrate, to destroy. And then they encountered frescoes depicting men in Persian garb. Men who looked like they looked. Seeing themselves so honored, so respectfully depicted, the invaders, they lowered their swords. They retreated respectfully. They spared the ancient Christian church from harm and destruction. With areas of the Holy Land in fierce battle mode at this very moment, and other areas controlled by armed guards, massive walls, barbed wire, security checkpoints, it feels as if the sentries are collapsed together with jumbled images of Herod and Hamas, Gentiles and Gaza, Bethlehem and Ramallah, militants and Magi, swords and stars. The truth is, the hard, sad truth is that woven relentlessly into the narratives of Christians, Jews, and Muslims are fear, suspicion, political repression, bloodshed, and territorial disputes. And although you and I here in Boston are half a world away from the warring, Christian tradition and history, Christian crusades and pogroms do not permit us to escape blame or assert innocence for the racking violence in the land of Jesus' birth. Since December 25th or December 27th, depending on how you count it, since the outbreak of renewed violence between Israel and Gaza, Copley Square has also been the scene of demonstrations, like many other places around the world. Pro-Israeli, pro-Palestinian factions have gathered opposed to each other to demonstrate, march, speak, and as much as anything, each has been intent on brandishing its flag, the blue and white Israeli flag featuring the Star of David, a flag designed in 1891 for the Zionist movement. And the black, white, green, and red Palestinian flag, about which there is a poem explaining the colors. White are our deeds, black are our battles, green are our fields, red are our swords. Jesus was born into a world as volatile and violent and fraught as ours is still today. The journey the Magi undertook from Persia to Bethlehem was treacherous. Indeed, in the course of their journey, they encountered Herod, whose rage was nothing less than murderous. And Jesus was born in a cold cave rather than at home in Nazareth, because a Roman emperor decided to dislocate the people of Judea for the sake of a headcount. And a little later in the story, just past what Jeff read this morning, after the Magi have presented their gifts and departed, the Holy Family will undertake their flight into Egypt to escape Herod's massacre of the innocents. And then about 30 years from the day of Jesus' birth, Jesus will suffer as Pontius Pilate's victim. He will be scourged and again wrapped in cloths and laid in a cave, this time a tomb. But throughout this story, the Magi stand out and stand apart. They are men of peace, both curious and courteous about other traditions. They are emissaries. They are shuttle diplomats whose journey, whose deeds and gifts give witness to intercultural and interreligious respect and tolerance, and maybe as well to a means for peace and goodwill toward all. You see, while television cameras and microphones are trained on the sights and the sounds and the smell of war, on the flashes of light from bomb blasts, on fatigue-clad soldiers bristling with weapons, on the tat-tat-tat of machine gun fire, on the chaos and terror in Gazan hospitals. While the cameras are focused and the microphones are focused that we can see and hear these things, meanwhile, the legacy of the Magi lives on. It lives on in quiet, unheralded visits, without microphones and without cameras, between Palestinians and Israelis who are bent on peace. It lives on among Jews and Muslims and Christians for whom the work of peacemaking and peacekeeping is holy, and for whom that work demands heroic bravery and sacrifice. Now we are in no position to stop the killing or achieve a negotiated peace between Israel and Palestine. We are in no position to end the rockets or end the occupation. But what we can do is this: emulate the journey of the Magi. We can join those who, from Bethlehem to Boston, engage in small, brave, resourceful associations of Jews, Muslims, and Christians. Those who have learned to call each other by name, who are reading each other's books, studying each other's holy texts, loving each other's children, worshiping in each other's houses of faith, learning to drink each other's coffees and eat each other's sweets, offering to each other the gifts of friendship and respect. For these deeds and acts, far from the cameras and the microphones, are just as true and just as real as the killings and the rockets and the occupation and the war. They inhabit a kind of parallel universe, a universe alongside our violent universe, a universe of those committed to respect and knowledge, compassion and freedom. So the perhaps the best that we can do, the thing that God aches for us to do, is to inhabit and to grow that parallel universe. Visit by visit, conversation by conversation, book by book, cup of coffee by cup of coffee, until looking at the other, we see ourselves. Such an act, twice spared from destruction, the ancient church of the Nativity. Perhaps such work can also spare synagogues and mosques and even holy lands. Once upon a time, in a violent and brutal world, three exotic, quixotic figures traversed cultures and religions. They defied potentates. They refused violence. They risked life and limb to kneel for a moment in a cramped space and there pay homage to a child of another faith and race and nation. A child whose peaceful life would change the course of history. A child for whom the kings of the earth had no power and whose life would become the light of the world. May it be so. Amen.